Now, off the top of your head, I can imagine you are thinking, this must be the worst style of leadership. What kind of a leader does that? You sit back and allow your people to take charge. They're going to run you out of business. I can imagine you're saying all of that right now. But guess what? Like I said before, and I stand by it, none of the three leadership styles I've talked about so far is better than the others or worse than the others. And I'm going to explain why. Somehow, this takes root in what I said early on in this episode, which is that the leadership style depends on the situation at hand and the kinds of people you're trying to lead.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, as usual, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode promises to be very exciting because we're talking about one of the biggest make or break skills any entrepreneur can have, and that is leadership. Leadership skills are very important, and that's exactly what the topic of today's episode is all about. In fact, specifically, this episode is about leadership styles because, contrary to popular opinion, there is no one dominant style of leadership, as you're about to learn in this episode. It's all about adaptability. It's all about dynamism. The situation, the kinds of people you are, who are your followers, would dictate the style of leadership you use. So leadership comes in different flavors. So there is no one set way to lead. It all depends on how you want to respond to the people you're trying to lead or to the situation at hand. So, but you know, why leadership? I can imagine this is a moot point, but if you're an entrepreneur, if you're somebody who prides yourself in your bright idea, you've started a business or you're trying to start a business, it is impossible to escape leadership. You know, it's impossible to escape leadership. And if you really look around, most successful entrepreneurs are actually good leaders. How do you know? How do I know that they are good leaders? You know, if you're not a good leader, nobody will follow you. That's a very simple way to assess how well you're performing as a leader. It's very simple. If you're not a good leader, people are not going to follow you. People are not going to follow you if they see a dead end, or they don't believe in your vision, or they don't believe in your company, they don't believe in the kind of business you're trying to build. Nobody's going to follow you, right? But then if people follow you, there's a reason why thousands of people work for Jeff Bezos of Amazon. Thousands of people work at Facebook. Thousands of people work at the Dangote Group, right? There's a reason why. You know, you might be paying those people their salaries and stuff like that, but there are other options they have. They can go find a job elsewhere. Why are they working for your company? So if you're not a leader, nobody's going to follow you. And it's a very chilling realization because you might be excited about your business idea today. You might be running a one-man business or a one-woman business, right? But if you have any hope of growing that business to serve more customers, to expand into more branches, to expand into new product and service categories, you're going to need people on your side. You will need people on your side. Many of them will be employees. Many of them will be investors. Some of them might be your distributors, suppliers. You're going to work with people, right? Like my people always say, like an African proverb says, one tree doesn't make a forest, right? You might be the biggest tree, you might be the baddest tree, but one tree cannot make a forest. So you need people to be able to actualize or achieve that goal, that vision, that dream that you have. So the essence of today's episode is, if you're an entrepreneur, like I've just said, it's a given. You need leadership skills. If you don't build your leadership skills, you're not going to go very far. So the essence of today's episode is to look at what are the ways to get people to follow you. So you're trying to build a company, you know, you have a couple of employees or you have several dozen employees. How do you get these people to keep following you so that they can keep believing in what you're building, so that they can keep helping you to build that company that you're looking at? So like I mentioned a few minutes ago, there is no one set way to lead. There is no one set type of leadership. Leadership comes with styles, and the styles of leadership that are available, or the style of leadership that you use, is wholly dependent on two things. The first is this specific situation. So there is a certain kind of situation that demands a certain kind of leadership. And then another situation would demand a different kind of leadership. So leadership is always responding to the external stimuli. Leadership is always responding to the situation at hand. So, and every situation is different. So it all depends on the situation you're looking at that would determine the leadership style you should apply. If you stick to one leadership style, you will quickly find that it does not easily apply to every situation. Some situations require a different kind of leadership style. And then the second factor that determines the style of your leadership is the kind of people you are leading. You know, if you're leading people who are not as experienced as you are, they are not as knowledgeable as you are, there's a different kind of leadership that will work in that situation. If you're working with people who are more experienced than you are, they are more creative, they are more knowledgeable, there's a different style of leadership, right? So in this episode, I'm going to be looking at the three leadership styles that you as an entrepreneur, you need to understand, you need to try to learn them, and you need to master them if you hope to go far in business. Now, I'll start with the very first of those leadership styles. Now, at this point in this episode, no one of the three leadership styles I'm going to talk about is superior to the other. No one is better than the other. No one is fancier than the other. So I'm going to be explaining them to you in no particular order, right? There is no right or wrong way right now. And then after I've explained them to you, we'll now look at the specific situations where using one leadership style might be better than using another leadership style. So the first leadership style I want to talk about is the autocratic or authoritarian leadership style. This is the style of leadership that a lot of us can identify, a lot of us may be familiar with. This is typically the kind of leader that you see as a boss. It's an autocrat. So an autocratic leader centralizes power and decision making in himself or herself. This is the person who makes the decisions, and then every other person follows those decisions, right? So an autocratic leader, how do you know them? They give orders, they assign tasks, they assign duties without consulting the employees. They are not asking for your opinion. They tell you what needs to be done and they expect you to go and do it. They don't need your advice, they don't need your opinions. So there's that leadership style. And then the thing about autocratic leadership is that it is based a lot on fear. You know, the people who follow an autocratic leader, more or less it borders on fear. There is some use of force. There are some threats involved, either veiled or unveiled threats. So if you don't follow the leader's instructions or orders, for example, you might get fired. You know, you might get fired, or there might be some penalty. You might get some query or something. So out of that fear, right, people have to follow the instructions of the autocratic leadership style. And then, of course, if you don't follow, there might be punishments. Like I mentioned, you could lose your job. You could get some reduction in your pay. You could be sent home on suspension, you know. Also, so there's that leadership style. There's a time when the autocrat in you needs to come out, the dictator, as it were, the person who rules with an iron fist. Right. So on the surface of it, I can imagine that some of you who are listening to the sound of my voice would be saying, you know, how does this even make sense? How can somebody who's trying to build a business be an autocrat? Can this even work? John Paul, why are you even discussing this as a leadership style? My response to you is you will be surprised. You will be surprised at how many people who are successful entrepreneurs who from time to time have to lean on the autocratic leadership style. And that's because there are some benefits to being an autocrat sometimes in your business. And let me share some of those benefits with you. It facilitates quick decisions. When you have your autocratic leadership style, you quickly make decisions, you are decisive, and the business moves fast. Because you're not waiting to form committees or sit in meetings or ask for people's opinions or advice, you know what needs to be done, you make the decision, the business moves fast. And sometimes in business, speed is important, especially when you're responding to changes in the market. It could be changes in consumer taste. It could be a move, a recent move by one of your competitors. Or it could be that the regulators in your business, some government arm, has introduced a new rule or something, and you need to act fast, right? When you need to act fast, the autocratic leadership style can be very helpful. Another thing is that it prompts action. It's an action-oriented leadership style. You know, it puts everybody on the same page and, you know, more or less we know exactly what we need to do. So the autocratic leadership style is great when it comes to execution, operations, when you need to take action. being the autocrat, adopting this leadership style can be very helpful. And it depends, it doesn't depend so much on delegation. The leader takes charge. That's what happens when you put on the autocratic leadership style. The leader takes charge. You're not delegating it. You're not pushing the can down the road. You're not pushing the responsibility to somebody else. You're not pushing the accountability to somebody else. The buck stops at your table. You take the decision and that is it. So these are some of the reasons why sometimes it will be necessary for you to adopt the autocrat, to become the autocrat, to adopt the authoritarian leadership style in your business, depending on the situation at hand. And I'm hoping later in this episode, I'm going to be able to share some of those situations. But then also, while the autocrat leadership style can have its applications in certain times where it can be beneficial and be an advantage to you as the leader of the business, it also has some disadvantages that you need to pay attention to. One of those major disadvantages is that usually when you overuse the authoritarian leadership style, it can lead to low motivation and low morale among the people you work with, among the people in your team, among your employees, because they just see themselves as drones or robots who are taking instructions, taking orders. They don't have a say in the decisions. Their opinions are not valued, you know. So you can imagine working in such a place where you feel that your boss doesn't listen to anybody, doesn't respect anybody's opinion, acts like a despot, acts like a dictator. You can imagine what the effect will be psychologically on the motivation and the morale of your employees. Another disadvantage is that it can lead to grievances, because when you're always the one making the decisions, you're always the one making the shots, calling the shots, not everybody is going to agree with what you're saying. And especially when you don't listen to people's advice or opinions, it's going to build up some bad blood, negativity, tension in the system. There'll be lots of grievances. And where this starts to look is, where you start to see the impact might be, you might start to lose employees, they might start to resign, you might see absenteeism rise. A lot of people complain they can't come to work for all sorts of excuses. My mom is sick, my dog is sick, I'm going to the hospital, something like that, you know. So those are signs of low morale. People don't want to come to work. And sometimes in some businesses, it can lead to industrial action like strikes. You know, your employees gang up against you. I had a recent episode on the podcast where I talked about that subject, how you can know and what you can do when your employees gang up against you. It should be like the second or third episode before this one, right? So that's what can happen when employees feel that the leader is a boss, because that's what you are when you're an autocrat. Your employees or the people who work with you, they don't see you as a leader, they see you as a boss, because they don't have a say. So the boss has spoken and then they need to act. So it can lead to strikes, your employees can gang up against you, and it can produce a lot of frustration and reduce the capacity of your employees. People will be unwilling to give their best because they're like, there's no sense of ownership, you know. All of this, it becomes a we versus them, or it's the boss versus every other person. So people just do as much work as they have to do, you know, so that they get paid and not get fired. So people are walking on eggshells. So that's it for you when it comes to the autocratic leadership style. That's the first style of leadership I want to talk about. The second style of leadership I want to talk about is the democratic or participative leadership style. Now, before you smile, right? Like I said before, I'm just going to run through the three leadership styles. None of them is better or worse than the other one. I'll explain to you later. So because you've heard democratic, it doesn't essentially mean that this is the best leadership style. And you're going to find out soon enough. So the democratic or participative leadership style, unlike the autocratic style, decentralizes authority. So it's not a case of the leader who is always making the decisions. Instead, this leadership style requires that you consult with your team members, with your peers, with your subordinates, with your employees, and you encourage them to participate in the decision-making process. So it's not about you making decisions and asking every other person to follow that decision. Before you make the decision, in the case of the democratic style, you are asking for people's opinions, you're asking for their advice, you are consulting, and you're encouraging them to come up with ideas and contribute to the decision-making process. So the democratic style of leadership depends a lot on persuasion and leading by example. So you're not just making orders for people to follow. You're actually persuading people. You are appealing to their, you're appealing to them. And then you're also doing as you say. You know, it's not, so the autocrat would expect you to do as they say. That's what the autocrat style requires. Do as I say. But the democratic style requires that you do as I do. So it's in, for the democratic style of leadership, there's a lot that depends on being the example, right? Being the role model and persuading people to come on side. And it depends a whole lot less on force and fear. People contribute because they want to, not because you're forcing them to. And when you adopt the democratic style of leadership, you usually act as the moderator of the ideas and suggestions from this group. So you say, for example, Michael, what do you think about this new plan, this new sales strategy? And then Michael says something, and then you say, okay, Fred, I saw you nodding your head. What do you have to say about what Michael says? And then you say, okay. And then you say, okay, Mary, I see you've been keeping quiet while this conversation has been going on. What do you think about this, Mary? How do you think we can progress? So you see, the leader here is not making the decisions. The leader is actually acting like a facilitator or moderator of a conversation that is bringing forth ideas, asking people to collaborate and contribute and things like that. So, like I said, off the top of it, you would already appreciate that this sounds like a leadership style that would appeal a lot to the people you're working with. And of course, you're right. It has several benefits, and I'll explain some of them to you. Some key benefits of the democratic style of leadership is that it leads to higher motivation and improved morale. Because your team members, your employees are participating in the decision-making process, the sense of ownership is higher. They see this thing as our thing, my thing, not your thing, not the boss's thing, right? So there's a higher sense of ownership because of the higher participation. People look forward to doing the work because they were part of the planning of the work. They got involved in it. They were part of shaping the decisions of the organization. So they don't see it as your company. They don't see it as the boss's company. They see it as our company, right? Another benefit is it leads to increased cooperation with the management. So with a democratic leadership style, the cooperation is more because you're asking for buy-in from different people. People are contributing ideas. There's this kind of constructive arguments going on. People are clashing, you know, all sorts of that. So it leads to this healthy team building mechanism that goes on. And then it also improves job performance because, like I said, people have a buy into the work that they're doing. They were part of it. They were part of the decisions. They were part of the planning, the policies, right? So they take a greater sense of ownership in the work that they do. And you see the results in the kind of work that they do. People will willingly work longer than they should. They will work weekends. They will come back from their leave, from their vacation to work. So it's like they go above and beyond because they see this thing as our thing. Compared to the autocrats where they only just do as much work as you require from them, but they will never do extra. But in the democratic style, you tend to get a lot of buy-in. The grievances are lower for the democratic style of leadership because most of the grievances would have happened during that collaborative contribution stage. If anybody is going to argue, if anybody is going to have a grievance, you will see it before the decision is made. And you're going to factor in those grievances into the decision-making process. And of course, when the motivation is better, when the morale is better, you tend to see there's lower employee turnover. People love to, beyond the salary, people love to come to work. People like to work because they feel that they are part of this thing. So you're likely to see things like high absenteeism, people not showing up for work, or people making up flimsy excuses just because they don't want to come to work, right? So those are the benefits. Of course, like I warned you earlier, none of these leadership styles at this stage is better than the other. All of them have their pros and cons. So what could possibly be the disadvantage of always using the democratic style of leadership? You know, you fall in love so much with the democratic style that it now becomes your de facto default way of leading your people. What could be the disadvantages? You'll be surprised. There are several disadvantages to always using the democratic style. And one of the disadvantages is that the decision making in with this leadership style is slower. So when you need to be decisive and make a decision, you are calling for meetings, you are setting up committees, you're setting up team meetings and all that. What that does to you is that your competitors may be moving faster than you. For example, if your competitor is the autocrat, you can be sure that they will make a decision almost immediately. But because you're the Democrat, because you're the one who wants to accommodate everybody's opinions, you want to take in everybody's advice, you want everybody to pitch in, you will be a slower organization. Things will not move as quickly as they should. And when it's in situations where those things are time critical, right? They are time sensitive. You are likely going to be shooting yourself in the foot if you're always leaning on the Democratic style of leadership. Another disadvantage is that, you know, it doesn't prompt action. It's not an action-oriented style of leadership, right? It's good for decision-making and a couple of things I'm going to explain later. But when you're looking for ruthless execution, you're looking for action. You want something to be done now. You need somebody to take charge. The Democratic style is very weak in that area, because while you're waiting to get everybody's opinions and you're waiting for all the committees to submit their reports, your competitors have moved beyond you, right? So that is one downside of a democratic or participative style of leadership. Another downside is it depends on a lot on delegation. You as the leader, when the time requires you to make a decision, because you are adopting the democratic style, you tend to rely a whole lot on delegating that responsibility of making the decision, coming up with ideas, taking decisive action. It's like you are delegating it down the line. And sometimes that may not be helpful. So this is it for the second style of leadership I just talked about, the democratic or participative style of leadership. The third type of leadership I want to talk about is the delegative or laissez-faire leadership. That's laissez-faire, meaning the French word for, say, like laid back. It's a laid back kind of leadership. So while the autocrat says, do as I say, right? The democratic or participative style of leadership will say, do as I do. The delegative or laissez-faire type of leadership says, do as you want. That's what it is. So it's do as you want. It's laid back. And what this kind of leadership does is it is hands off. It's hands off. The leader does not interfere or barely interferes. He avoids power and responsibility and leaves the subordinates to make the decisions. You allow your employees to make the decisions. That's what happens. The leader plays a minor role and leaves subordinates to do the work and get the results. So essentially is go and do the work. I'm not going to be involved. That's what a delegative type style of leadership says. Go and do the work. I'm not going to be involved. You guys go figure it out yourselves, do the work, and then report back to me. That's what delegative style does. So this type of leader passes on the decision making and takes a minimum initiative in the administration. Now, off the top of your head, I can imagine you are thinking, this must be the worst style of leadership. What kind of a leader does that? You sit back and allow your people take charge. They're going to run you out of business. I can imagine you're saying all of that right now. But guess what? Like I said before, and I stand by it, none of the three leadership styles I've talked about so far is better than the others or worse than the others. And I'm going to explain why. And somehow this takes root in what I said early on in this episode, which is that the leadership style depends on the situation at hand and the kinds of people you're trying to lead, right? So let's look at, could there be any possible benefits to a delegative, hands-off, laissez-faire type of leadership, right? Could there be any benefits? You'll be surprised. There are quite some benefits to this style of leadership. One benefit is that it encourages personal growth and gives employees a chance to be hands-on, right? Because when you think about it, the autocratic leader is making all decisions, employees just follow. So what happens on a certain day where the boss cannot come to the office? The boss is sick or his wife is sick, and he cannot make it to the office. Guess what happens when you depend too much on the autocratic style of leadership? Nothing goes on in your business, because all you have are robots. You've conditioned your people to always take orders and instructions from you. And the moment you're not around, they're either too afraid to make decisions on their own because they don't know how you react, or they don't even know how to make the decisions, because all this while you're the person who has been making decisions, right? So that's what happens, in that your employees are not empowered in the autocratic sense. When it comes to the democratic sense of leadership, right, you are still involved. So most times employees contribute to the decision making, but you are still the person who makes decision in the democratic sense. Yeah, even though they help you, you still make the decision. But when you think about the delegative sense, what you're saying is you're allowing your people to go ahead and figure it out on their own. What it's going to do is it's going to encourage innovation. It will encourage creativity. It will encourage independence, essentially to stretch your people and it will make them grow. So what happens on a certain day when a boss who is much more delegative in his style doesn't show up at work, doesn't come to the office? Maybe he's sick, his wife is sick, or his cat is sick. What happens? You can be sure that if the employees are used to a delegative side, a delegative style of leadership, they will take the initiative. They will say, okay, the boss is not available. Let's go ahead and do the work. After all, we always do the work. When he's around, we do the work. So he's not around. There's no difference. They go ahead and do the work. And your business is gradually churning along, even though you are not available in the company. You are not available on the premises. Your employees already have the initiative. They take the initiative and they go ahead and do the work. And another benefit is that it allows for faster decision making, right? Your employees are not waiting for you to come make the decisions compared to the autocrat situation. Your employees know that they have the power, they have the authority, they have the responsibility to make decisions even when you're not around. So that's another benefit of the laissez-faire or the delegative style of leadership. Of course, we also have to look at the disadvantages. What are the disadvantages of this style of leadership? Now, if you depend too much on the delegative or laissez-faire style of leadership, one thing you will start to notice over time is that you'll be creating silos in the workplace, right? Because since everybody has the initiative to do the work the way they want, people will start to create camps. You will start to notice that one department is not talking to the other department. And then the other department doesn't even know what is going on in other departments. So there's no coordination. Everybody's just doing their thing, right? So that's one thing that happens. It creates silos in the workplace and it reduces the cohesiveness, the ability for teamwork to actually happen. Another disadvantage is that it changes how accountability is assigned within the group. If something goes wrong when the leader is not around, who takes the blame? So that is another downside of the delegative style of leadership. When you're not available or when you're not involved in the decision-making process, if something goes wrong, who takes the blame? So that's a downside to the delegative style of leadership. Another downside is that it allows the leader to avoid leadership. So when there are serious situations, maybe when there's a crisis, it's easy for this kind of leader, a delegative leader who is used to being hands-off, it's very easy for them to avoid those situations where true leadership is required. So for example, you need a decisive decision. Things are going bad. The market is changing. One of your competitors has made a major move, or the regulator has introduced a new rule, and you need decisive action. You need to take action now. In a delegative environment, it's not really clear who should make that decision. It's not really clear who the leader is. Should it be the head of sales or the head of accounts or the head of operations? Who exactly should make that call? So what you start to see is that people make their own decisions and then it can cause trouble or set the company on fire. And then, of course, one major disadvantage of the delegative or laissez-faire type of leadership style is that it's very easy for employees to abuse it. It's very easy. You can imagine when there's no clear authority and people have the right to make any decisions that they want or do anything they like, it's very easy for employees to abuse it. So I can imagine at this point, if I haven't succeeded in confusing you about, because I warned you earlier, right? All of these three leadership styles have their pros and cons. There is no one you can say is the superior, and there is no one you can say is the most inferior. All of them have their pros and cons. And why is that? I'll keep saying this until it becomes second nature to you. Leadership styles are not static. Leadership styles are not fixed. They are not permanent. Leadership styles are dynamic. Leadership styles are responsive. You respond to the different situations at hand. And one situation may require a certain kind of leadership style. Another situation may require a different leadership style. Another is the type of people you're leading, right? And I'm going to tell you exactly what that means. So the question at this point in the episode is, when should you use a particular leadership style, When should you use? So I'll try to give you some guidance at this point, right? And let me start with the autocratic leadership style. When should you be an autocrat? Is it okay for you to be autocratic in your leadership style sometimes? Yes, but when should that be? I'll give you a couple of scenarios. One is, if the vision for your company, for your business, or the direction, if the direction is clear, if the plan is clear, then you are permitted to be an autocrat, because you, what that means is that you know what needs to be done. Everybody knows what needs to be done. It's your job to then say, go ahead and do this, or do A, B, C, D, E. Make sure you follow this order exactly as it is. Do A, B, C, D, E. And why are you doing that? Because we already have a plan. We're in execution mode. I don't need your opinion. I don't need your advice. I don't need to call for any committee meetings, team meetings, or anything. Just go and do the work. And the reason you have that kind of confidence to step into that autocratic leadership style is because you know what needs to be done. So in a situation where what needs to be done is very clear, then all that remains is to tell people to do what needs to be done. That's all, right? Another time is if your focus is on execution, operations, and efficiency. So what operations means, for example, if you are in a business that manufactures products and our production plan says we need to produce 1,000 units of this product per day, right? You don't need any meetings. You don't need anybody's advice. You don't need any employee to come. You don't need any of your employees to come whisper in your ear. You don't need that. The target is very clear. 1,000 units a day. So you're giving instructions, you're giving orders, and you expect people to follow these orders. You are giving out rewards, and you're also issuing threats. If you don't meet your target, you're going to be suspended, you're going to be fired, So that happens when the direction is very clear, and then you move on to that. Another situation where the autocratic leadership style can be very helpful is when decisive action is required. For example, when there is a crisis. If your business has a crisis, it could be some financial crisis, it could be fire in your warehouse, it could be somebody who is trying to take legal action against your company. Essentially, you are in crisis mode. You don't need to be setting up meetings during a crisis. You don't need committee meetings and all that, trying to get people and get opinions. What you need during a crisis is decisive action, especially when what needs to be done is already clear. So if what needs to be done is clear, then you move ahead or poorly experienced employees. If you know better than these people by a wide margin, you are far more experienced than they are by a wide margin. There's really no opinions you're expecting, especially if it's in a technical area. It's in a technical area where you know much, much more than the people you're working with. Then, of course, it makes sense for you to be issuing orders and letting them know what to do, giving instructions at that point, right? You don't need any meetings or whatever, because at the experience level, at the expertise level, there's a very wide margin between you and them. So at that point, it makes sense that you're going to be the autocrat. But then the other situation I need to mention for the autocratic style or authoritarian style of leadership, which is essentially a word of caution, right? You should try to be a benevolent autocrat. That's an autocrat who has the best intentions for your people. You are not a wicked autocrat or a dictator or a despot, right? Or a sadist. You know, there are people who are sadists. There are people who will tell you terrible things about the people they work for, the kind of bosses that they have. And you start to imagine that a human being can do this. In fact, some of those things border on human rights abuse, right? You start to imagine what kind of human being does this. So the goal here is that the autocratic style is essentially a style of leadership, and it is situational. It depends on situations and it depends on the kinds of people you're dealing with, right? So you need to be benevolent about it. If you are giving instructions and you're trying to impose fear or use force to do things, you should also balance it with the good side, like rewards. So you shouldn't only punish people when they don't do what they're supposed to do. You should also reward people when they do what they're supposed to do. You should also recognize people. Sometimes recognition is very important. It doesn't cost you money. All you are doing is you are recognizing somebody to say, somebody who exhibited the kind of qualities or behaved in the way you expect. You should recognize such a person and say, these are the kinds of people who want to work here. So you can't always be using force all the time, using fear all the time. You should also balance it with rewards and recognition. These are the things that make you a reasonable leader. And then the people you're leading can understand that you have to be autocratic to get things done. You see, because people know, they know when they look up to a leader to tell them what to do. Employees know. There are times they expect you to step into the big shoes and make the decisions and call the shots. There are times they expect you to do that. But when you do it as a sadist, as somebody who do not, who as somebody who is doing it out of bitterness, or you're doing it out of wickedness, then it can backfire. That's why you start to see employees leave you. It leads to grievances. They start to gang up against you because they think you're not a good person, right? So it's always important to separate the leadership style from who you are really as a person. So it doesn't matter what leadership style you choose. The kind of person you are will always reflect that way. So I just gave you some specific situations where being an autocrat, stepping into the authoritarian style of leadership can make sense in your business. Let's now look at the democratic or participative style of leadership. In what kind of situations does it make sense to be democratic and participative in your leadership style? One situation will be when the direction is not clear, when the plan is not clear. You know, for example, you're trying to do something new. You're trying to create a new product. You're trying to enter a new market. You're trying to do something new. You're trying to hire a new person. In these situations, nothing is clear. There's no direction. You need ideas. You need opinions. You need to get the benefit of different perspectives from different people. If you find yourself in such a situation, it makes sense for you to wear your democratic style of leadership hat and ask your employees, your peers, your subordinates for advice. What do you think? We're about to do this. How do you see it from where you stand? What do you think? What are your fears? What are your expectations? You know, you ask all those things because you are trying to create something new, or you are in a new situation, right? So also the democratic or participative leadership style is also great when you are in the planning phase. You're trying to plan for, like I mentioned before, a new project, a new business, a new product, a new service, or you're at the ideation stage. You're in the brainstorming stage where you need ideas, or you're in the creative or developmental stage of your, either you're trying to create a plan or a strategy or a vision or a product. You need all hands on deck. You know, in that kind of situation, 2 good heads, 3 good heads, 10 good heads are better than 1 head. So you need all your people to come on board. You need people to buy in. You need them to collaborate. You need them to contribute. You need them to participate. And you're just acting as the moderator, right? Getting different ideas. It's also helpful to use the democratic leadership style if you're working with knowledgeable or experienced employees. So you're working with employees who are as knowledgeable as you are, or even more knowledgeable than you are in that business, in that technical area, in that market, in that product. Or you're talking to people who are far more experienced than you are, than you have. You might be more educated than they are, but they are more experienced. You see that sometimes in some technical spaces where the engineer is Harvard trained or schooled at Oxford or schooled at Cambridge, right? So he or she has most of the theoretical knowledge, but he's having to work with artisans, people who didn't go to maybe any formal school, but they've been working with those things for most of their life. In that situation, it makes sense for you to adopt a participative style because you might have all the theoretical knowledge, but these guys are much more experienced than you are. Sometimes they have the street smarts. They understand the streets better than you. You're coming from you're coming from the corporate side. You're coming from the organized private sector. These guys are working in the informal sector. They are on the streets. They know how things work on the street. They know what is practical on the street. All you have is theory, but they have practical knowledge and experience. In that kind of situation, it helps to be collaborative. It helps to get them to participate in the planning, in the brainstorming, and things like that. And a democratic or participative style of leadership is also good when you're trying to build a strong team. So when you allow people to participate in decisions, get involved in the planning, in the building, and things like that, it makes them have a stronger buy-in into what you're trying to do. So these can be some of the situations where having a democratic or putting on your hat for the democratic or participative style of leadership can be very helpful. Now, let's talk about the third one, the delegative or laissez-faire leadership style. So what situations in what kind of situations will it make sense that a leader hands off from playing an active role in the decision making that goes on in the business? In what kind of situations can it make sense? I'll tell you. One of those situations will be if you have employees who need freedom to apply their discretion, their initiative and creativity, right? For example, if it's a consulting business, or let's even take a hairdressing salon where maybe women go to get their hair done or men go to have a haircut, right? You have employees in that kind of business. Imagine what it will look like if the customer asks for something. I want my hair done this way. And then the employee has to come back to you, the boss, to say, the customer just said this. What should I do? Should I do it? Imagine what it's going to look like if you had a collaborative or democratic style of leadership, or the customer asks for something and then the person who is cutting the hair, right, drops whatever tools he's using and has to come for a team meeting or a committee meeting. It's not practical, right? So in those kind of situations, you expect that your employees would have the freedom to make decisions on their own, to apply their discretion and use their initiative. So that's one situation where you need to rely on your employees to do what needs to be done. In that kind of situation, becoming the laid back or hands off leader may make sense, right? Another situation where you might need to be delegative is if you're trying to build other leaders in your company, you're trying to build other managers. Don't forget, you're on a journey. You're on a journey of building a business that makes sense for you and your company. You're on a journey of building a bigger and better business. You're on a journey of growing your company. And if you're going to grow your company, you can't do it all alone. You have to rely on people. You have to rely on other people. You have to build other managers in your company. You have to build other leaders in your company. And there is no better way of building a leader than to allow the leader practice leadership. You know, if you're always making decisions for the leader, for the people you allegedly want to make into leaders, if you're always making decisions for them, you will impair their ability to make decisions and they will not be fully formed. They will be poor leaders because you're always making decisions for them. So the only way to be a leader is to lead, right? So being a delegative or laissez faire kind of, using that kind of leadership style allows your people to develop their leadership skills, because you're putting them in the hot spot. You're putting them in those tough situations that will make them creative, innovative, and be able to make decisions so that tomorrow you can totally rely on them to run the company, right? Another situation where delegative or laissez faire style of leadership can make sense is in succession planning. So you have some businesses. I was speaking at an event the other day and I said, this is a common problem we have with African businesses. African businesses rarely move over to the next generation, or they rarely survive two or three generations. What happens is, while the founder of the business is alive, while the owner of the business is alive, the business is doing well. But as the person starts to get old or get sick or something happens, the business starts to die. And why is that? That's because succession planning was not put in place. Succession planning was poor. So nobody was particularly groomed to take over the founder of the business should anything happen. So the only way to develop a successor is to adopt a laissez-faire or delegative leadership style. If you don't allow that person to run the company, if you're always making decisions for that person, the person will not even develop the skills you need them to develop in order to be a worthy successor to you, should you not be able to continue actively managing the business. So those are some of the situations I wanted you to look at. So now at this point in the episode, there are four things I need you to consider. The very first is to join the Insiders Program. Now, looking at this episode, it is very clear that most of all the people we have in the Insiders Program are entrepreneurs who are actively building their leadership skills. They are actively building their leadership skills. And this topic came up from a conversation I had with one of our members during the week. He's in a situation where he needs to develop that leadership style. All this time, he's been the one directly running his business. He's been the one calling all the shots. Essentially, he's been an autocrat. He's now in a situation where he needs to change. And in his mind, he thought, you know, if I stop being the autocrat, things are going to go bad in my business. I'm going to start losing things. I can't trust people. So it was an opportunity for us to have that conversation that will help to develop his leadership skills. And this is one of several benefits of being an insider. The insiders are the entrepreneurs who are building businesses in over 20 different countries. We learn together from some of the top people. We exchange ideas. We collaborate. We share our problems. We share opportunities, right? So these are some of the interesting things that happen when you become a member of our insiders community. And if you want to learn more about the insiders community, head over to smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I want you to do is to tell your friends about this podcast. In today's episode, you got a masterclass in leadership skills. This episode is 100% free. All you have to do is tell your friends who are either trying to start a business, have already started a business, or even are very experienced in business. These are some of the problems that entrepreneurs face as they try to build their businesses in different situations and in different times. So I urge you, tell somebody about the Small Starter Business Podcast. Tell them about the podcast. They can search it up on Google. Just search for the Small Starter Business Podcast. That easily they will be able to find us. Another thing you can do is to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a 5-star review. If you don't want to miss out on future episodes, by the time you subscribe, depending on the platform you use, either on Google, on the Android platform, iOS platform, Apple phones, and all that, once you subscribe and we release any new episode, you'll be able to get those new episodes. And then the fourth thing I need to consider is, again, to join the Insiders Program. It will be a great opportunity for you to learn many of these things. Interesting thing about entrepreneurship is there is no one course, there is no one training program, there is no one event that teaches you everything you need to do or know about entrepreneurship. It is a daily activity. It is a lifelong process, which is why joining a community of entrepreneurs will be very helpful, because you can learn from those people who have made the mistakes you're about to make, and you can learn from their experience and the lessons that they've learned. You can also collaborate. You can also find new and interesting opportunities with other people. So that's it for the Insiders Program. At this point, I'd like to talk to you about our partners on the Small Starter Business podcast. That is Quezza. That's Kuueza. So Quezza is doing something very remarkable for small and medium-sized businesses that are selling products on the African continent. If you sell products and you're looking for new markets, essentially markets outside your country, this is an export opportunity for you to find potential customers in the US, in Canada, in Europe, people who will be interested in paying more and better prices, you know, for what you sell. Quezza is already connecting buyers and sellers between South Africa and Nigeria, between Cote d'Ivoire and Kenya, between Ghana and the US, between Uganda and the UK. So it's amazing how much you can grow your business, how much you can expand your sales, how much more profitability you can get by accessing platforms that help you gain visibility in foreign markets. So my prediction is that Quezza is going to do something akin to what Alibaba did for the Chinese market. You know, Alibaba opened China's SMEs to the global market. Today, almost every product is made in the Chinese market. That's exactly what Quezza is doing. Quezza is building a platform for African producers to access foreign markets, both markets within Africa and markets outside of Africa. So if you sell a product and you want to find out more about Quezza, check out Quezza at Quezza Seller. There's a separate app for people who want to sell their products and find customers. It's Quezza Seller. Just go to the Google Play Store or the App Store and search for Quezza Seller. And if you're looking for interesting, remarkable products that you'd like to explore, download the Quezza User app. That's a separate app for people who want to buy on the platform. Quezza User app. You're going to be glad you heard this on the Small Starter Business Podcast. So until the very next episode, keep developing your leadership skills. It's not going to be a one-day thing. The only way to lead, the only way to learn how to lead is to try to lead, right? And with the different styles I've given you today, I need to see them as hats you can put on. depending on the situation you're trying to deal with or what you're trying to do. I need to see them as hats you can put on so that when the situation arises or when you are leading a certain kind of people, you can always move into, you can always put on these different hats and provide a leadership solution at that specific moment. So until the very next episode, stay positive, remain a learner, and continue to practice what you learn. The only way to get good at entrepreneurship is to keep practicing what you learn. I look forward to talking to you again in the very next episode. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.